bless that gift in the name of Jesus. If you're giving it away, thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, I thank you for the gifts that come in this week through electronic giving, through the mail. We pray with them every Wednesday night. Father God, that your blessing be upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, get your Bibles out and let's get ready to get into some things tonight. I want to stay true to my commitment to keep it right at that 8 o'clock mark so the youth and stuff like that get home. But Sunday morning, if you were here, we talked about two things concerning sin. Does anybody remember? Does anybody remember what we talked about Sunday morning? They both start with the letter F. We talked about sin being a verb and a noun. We said in the book of Romans, two times out of all the times that I'm not sure, 68 times like that, the word sin appears in Romans. The majority of the time, it is a noun, person, place, or thing. Two times it appears as a verb, which is an action. But what we do most of the time when we think of the word sin, we think of the action. We think of it being a verb all the time. But we'll look at some of that tonight. But there was two things we talked about. And look here at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Thank you, Father. It says, in him, talking about Jesus, we have redemption through his blood. It tells us what that redemption is. It says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of what? Of sins. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Okay, which is poured out or shed for many for what? The forgiveness of sins. Okay? So we talked about forgiveness of sins, right? And how important is forgiveness of sins? Super important, right? But what else did we talk about? Does anybody remember what the other? Freedom. Okay? Look at this here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, and having been set free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. Having been, past tense, having been set free. Look at verse 22 of Romans chapter 6. It says, but now having been, again past tense, set free from sin, and having become servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end everlasting life. But now having been set free from sin. Look at this in Romans chapter 6 in verse 6. Romans 6, 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Past tense, right? Crucified how? Crucified with him. Has he been crucified? Past tense, right? Knowing this, that our old man has been crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been what? Freed from sin. So we talked about forgiveness of sin, and we talked about freedom from sin. But you can't, the first thing you have to understand is that many times that he's talking about sin, it's a noun. It's not the action. It's not us doing something wrong. It's sin as a person, place, or thing. Okay? It says that those who have been crucified with him, those who have died with him, if you've died, you've been what? Freed from sin. Not just forgiveness, but freedom from sin. Having been set free from sin. Right? We read that three times in Romans chapter 6, correct? Now, I want to give you a visual, okay? Because what we've done, the majority, and I'm going to say even myself, the majority of my Christian life has been operating in forgiveness of sin, never understanding the knowledge of being set free from it. And I'm telling you, it's a 1-2 punch. We talked about this, me and Julie, just today or yesterday. It's a 1-2 punch. Being forgiven of your sins is so that you can be set free from sin. Okay? Being forgiven from the verb is so that he can set you free from the noun. Okay? Being forgiven. See, I can't be forgiven from the noun. I have to be forgiven for the sins that I've, come on, right? The verb that I've committed. Does that make sense? But in being forgiven of that, I also have to understand that he has set me free from sin, the noun. Because if I don't walk in that understanding, that knowledge, then what happens is I live in this side over here all the time. I live according, let's just say, the new man, the old man's gone, but the new man's what? The new man's, we regard no one any longer according to what? To the flesh, according to the old man. If when I'm walking in forgiveness, I'm always, let me use this as an example. And this sack was not going to be Jesus tonight, okay? This sack is going to be sin in our life. And I don't have my cards up here. But what we do in this sack, okay, we lie, put the sin in there. We steal, put the sin in there. We get angry, sin goes in there, okay? We these are the verbs, these are the actions. We cheat, sin goes in there. We lust, sin goes in there. We backbite, sin goes in there. We walk in judgment, sin goes in there. Come on, right? It's not just the bad side of it. It's gossip, sin goes in there. All right? So we got this Easter bag, this Easter basket of sin. Okay? All these things that we've done, all these verbs that we've done. And what we do is we come to the cross and we receive forgiveness from the verb. The verbs. Does that make sense? God, forgive me for this. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for this. And when I grew up, I was telling somebody this, when I grew up in the Catholic Church and I had to go in to the little booth and I had to tell my sins to the Father, I did not forget my sins. I knew what I'd done, okay? But I also knew that he might know my voice, okay? I mean, there's only one priest, and I'm an altar boy. So I'd go in there and I'd say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. My last confession was, and then I'd say, Father, I picked on my sister. I disobeyed my parents. I got angry. I got upset, okay? And then I'd say, and then any sins that I can't remember, okay? Those were all the bad ones. Okay? Let's just be straight. I mean, those are the ones where I stole candy at the store. Those are the ones where I stole something. I can remember what I did, but I put those all under, I can't remember those. Okay? And so I'm getting forgiveness. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for this. That's forgiveness. Okay? And then what we do is we walk away with an empty sack because we've been forgiven. But we carry this sack with us because we have the mentality that we're going to go out there and we're going to pick up the eggs again. Okay? So if this is, if the sack is the noun sin and the verb sin is what I'm picking up and putting in there, does this make sense? Okay, I come and I forgive me of this, forgive me of that, forgive me of this, forgive me of that. And then I walk away with the noun sin because you know I'm just human. Yeah. Come on, you know that I'm a man. Yeah. And you know that all men have a problem with lust. Come on, all these lies. And so I've been forgiven of all the sins that I've done that I put in the sack, but I walk away with the sin, the sack called sin, the noun, empty because I've been forgiven, but I've carried it with me because it ain't going to take long for me to fill it back up. Why is it not going to take long for me to fill it back up? Because my mentality is that's who I am. That's my mentality is that's how we are. Okay, we have bumper stickers that said, you know, everyone sinned. The only one who's perfect, they crucified him. Okay, now, the verb my sins, forgiveness is that portion, but I've got to understand, I've got to come into the truth that the noun sin, I've been set free from. And so when I come in and I get forgiveness of sin, I did this, I did that, forgiveness of sin, and he cleanses me from all unrighteousness. But what I need to do is I need to realize that what he did on the cross, he set me free from sin, and I don't need to carry this sack with the sin noun expecting me. I've got to understand that I've been set free from that, so I can go from this realm over into this realm. Okay? You say, Pastor, but we're human. Jesus was human. Okay? And my Bible tells me that as he is, so are we. This is in First John chapter 4, verse 17, something like that. As he is, so are we in the earth. So if I'm as he is in the earth, then he must still be under sin if I'm still under sin. He must be in bondage to sin if I'm in bondage to sin. See, we operate in forgiveness, and we've done really good at teaching people about forgiveness and how the blood covers and forgives us, but we've not stepped over into the freedom from sin, and that's an entirely different mindset of thinking. Does this make sense? It's a 1-2 punch. If we live only in forgiveness, we will always stay on this side. We will always go back into our natural. We'll always go back into the old man. We'll always go back. Why? Because we got to go find, because that's who we are. But when we realize that he forgave us, then he set us free from sin, the noun, we can step over here and we can walk in newness of life. Okay? Let's look at a couple things here tonight. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 11. What did it tell us when we read, he who has died has been what? Freed from sin. So if we've died, we're what? Free from sin. We're set free from sin. Okay? Look at this here in verse 10. For the death that he died, talking about Jesus, he died to sin once for all. So Jesus died to sin one time for all of us. And if we have died, then we are free from sin. Come on, right? So Jesus died once to sin for all of us. So not only through his blood are we forgiven, but through his blood we are set free from sin. Now, let's look at a couple things here tonight and get into some things. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We're going to be in Romans a little bit. We're going to go into Genesis a little bit. We might be in Ephesians a little bit. We might be in Corinthians a little bit. We'll see where we go, okay? Romans 5:12. Has everybody got it? Therefore, just as through one man, okay? Through one man, talking about Adam here. Therefore, just as through one man, sin, noun, okay? Not verb, sin, entered the world. Notice according to this, sin wasn't something that was created by God in the world. Sin was something that came and entered into the world through one man. Noun. We have to understand noun. Person, place, or thing. See, we always think when we think sin, we always think, well, I picked on my... We always think the verb, the action, where we miss it. He says, through one man, sin entered the world. And death through sin. Okay? So Adam's disobedience, sin entered the world. But the result of sin entering the world ultimately was that death also entered. Right? Okay. Now, if I've been set free from sin, then I've also been set free from the results of sin. Because there's more results than just death, okay, from sin. Like Adam and Eve, it says that in Genesis, Adam and Eve, it says that God created Adam and Eve, and he brought Eve to Adam, and they became one, and it says that they were naked before each other, and they felt no shame. Okay, they were naked, but they felt no shame. And then when Adam and Eve sinned, it says that their eyes were open, and they knew what? They knew that they were naked. Before sin, they were naked, right? But they felt no shame. Okay? After disobedience and sin, sin entered into the world and death through sin. It says their eyes were open, and they realized that they were naked, and they were ashamed, they were afraid, and they hid themselves when God came to talk to them. And they said, "Why did you hide yourself?" Adam said, "Because I was naked, and I was afraid, fear." So look what's coming. Look what's coming into this world through sin: death, fear, shame, condemnation, guilt. Okay? But see, when I'm just doing the verb, I'm only functioning, operating in forgiveness. I keep walking away with all those things of sin because I come and I get forgiveness and I carry my bag that says sin noun, and I go out to get my Easter eggs and put it back in the and come back and get forgiveness again. When I realize that not only has he forgiven us, he has set me free from this, then I can step over here and walk in this newness of life. And what stays over there? Sin and anything that entered the world through sin. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Talks about how he bore our shame, carried our griefs. Come on, right? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We thought that he was being punished, that God was upset at him and punishing him for his sins, but literally he was being punished and bruised and broken for our sins. He one time died to sin for all of us. Come on, right? So not only that we can be forgiven, but that we can be free from it. It's a 1-2 punch. See, it's difficult for us to walk free of shame, free of guilt, free of those things, when all we're doing is living in forgiveness. It's when we understand that we've been set free from it by the grace of God and what he's done, free from sin, free from what came through sin, free from guilt, free from shame. Notice it says before sin, they were naked before and they weren't ashamed, but after they sinned, their eyes were open and they saw that they were naked and they hid themselves from God. Come on, right? Now, see, we get so caught up in what Adam did that we miss the most valuable thing in this whole thing, is that the most valuable thing was what Adam did not do. See, we always get into the what's been done, and we miss what was the most valuable thing was what he didn't do in the garden. Okay? Let's go back to Genesis real quick and look at a couple things, and I want to show you some things here. So if sin entered through Adam's disobedience and death through sin, and I've been set free from sin, then I've been set free from death. Come on, right? And then eventually when Jesus comes back, the Bible says, where's your sting? Grave, where's your sting? Death, where you know, we will inherit that renewed physical man, right? But we're eternal beings now. We're going to spend eternity with him. Okay? So I've been set free from sin. I've been set free from death. I've been set free from shame. I've been set free from condemnation. I've been set free from these things. I've been set free from the power of sin over my life. I'm no longer a slave or a servant to it, the Bible says in Romans. I've been set free from that. What I have to do now is I have to either yield my members as instruments unto sin, or I have to yield my members as instruments unto righteousness. It comes back to that decision. Do you know that that's the same thing that Adam had in the beginning? God created everything was good. God created everything good. And when he created Adam and Eve in his image likeness, he stopped and he said, it's really good. That's very good. When God created Adam and Eve, God said, that's really amazing. Okay? When God created you, the Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Huh? Come on, right? Did you know that God's incredibly intelligent? Have you ever heard of this statement, intelligent design? Okay? That God used intelligence when he designed your three-part being. Spirit, soul, and body. We're going to get into that. Maybe not tonight. But we're going to get into that. Okay? God, there's intelligent design behind your spirit. There's intelligent design behind your soul. There's intelligent design behind your natural man. Now, we know how to live in our natural man. Let me ask you a question, unless you're fasting. How many ate today? How many of you had to have a word from the Lord to eat? No one? No one got up in the morning and was just going through the day, and all of a sudden you're like, man, it's 2 o'clock. And the Lord says, dude, eat. No, you know what? God created me intelligently, in my natural man intelligently, and I need physical food. I need that nourishment so that I can live and survive. I need water. So in that intelligent design, I just around 10 o'clock said, dude, you're hungry. My body just said, you're hungry. And around noon, it's like, you're hungry again. Come on, right? And we just flow in that so easy. That's just so normal. Come on, right? But all of that was designed by God's intelligence. Right now, while we're sitting here, our hearts have been beating, and none of us have been thinking, beat, beat, beat. And I distracted you too long, and you had to, oh, just a minute, keep that thought, Pastor. I got it, beat, beat. It's intelligent design. Breathe, intelligent design. It's not hard, is it? Come on, right? It's easy. But then when we realize that we're a spirit and living and walking in the spirit, see, not regarding ourselves according to the flesh, but living according to the spirit, then all of a sudden, man, it's like we make it hard. You got to pray through. You got to break through. You got to do all these different things. You know what? God created your spirit intelligently, just like he created your physical body, just like he created your mind. He created it intelligently, and your spirit operates and functions in the spiritual realm. It has the ability to communicate and commune with God, and it's not a difficult thing to do. Does that make sense? Okay, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. The first thing we've got to do is we've got to quit allowing the enemy to give us the thoughts how we think about ourselves. See, God can look at us and say, that's amazing. But then we have to come over to the other side and say, that's horrible. That's rotten, evil, terrible, just a horrible person. When God's on the other side, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Right? Now, that whole shame, guilt, condemnation, lack of self-worth, value, all that stuff, that entered this world through sin. Adam had no problem hanging out with God before he disobeyed. Come on, right? Right? Now, did you find Genesis? Okay. Genesis chapter 2. In verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow. How many trees did God make? Every tree. grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. Would the tree of life be a part of every tree? Come on, right? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Would the tree of the knowledge of good and evil also be part of every tree? Come on, right? Look at verse 15. So talking about the garden, and it talks about where the garden was at and the rivers and like that. Verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. How many trees of the garden could he freely eat of? Every tree. God caused every tree to grow, right? Every tree. We could name trees. May orange tree, apple tree, pear tree. But that's not the issue. Every tree, and he says, every tree looked good, and it was good for them to eat. Now notice, he said, you are free to eat of every tree. Do you know God created Adam and Eve free? Right? He said, you are free to eat of every tree. Now how many trees were they free to eat of? Every one. Apple tree, pear tree, orange tree, tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every tree. Come on, right? Right? But, he says, I tell you, don't eat. I command you, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because as soon as you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will what? You shall die. Okay? How many trees were they free to eat of? Every tree. But God said, don't eat of this one. Okay? God never created anything other than good. Come on, right? All right? You say the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He creates something evil. No. Their disobedience. God said you can have all of this, everything. Free. But he said, don't eat of this one. They disobeyed that one thing. And when they disobeyed and they did that one thing, sin entered into this world through disobedience. And their eyes were opened. They were naked before, but now they know they're naked. And they're shamed. And they're in guilt. And they're in condemnation. And they're afraid. And they take leaves and they sew some clothes. And they put clothes on. And then when God comes down to talk to them, they hide because they know that they're naked. And God said, who told you that you were naked? How did you know that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? Now, if forgiveness is all that's available, then when we sin, we can come to him and be forgiven from that. But we still carry the sack of the noun sin. And we have the mentality, we're going to go do it again. We're going to do it again because that's just the way it is. But if Jesus, through his obedience, undid what Adam did through his disobedience, then forgiveness cannot be the end of the story. We have to be able to step over into freedom from sin. Come on, right? We got 5 minutes. Okay? I said earlier, we so concentrate all the time on what is done. What did Adam and Eve do? They ate of what? Tree of the knowledge of good and what? Evil. Okay? That's what they did. They sinned. And they ate of the knowledge of the tree of the good and evil. But I'm going to tell you, the most powerful thing that was available to them is what they did not eat. It's what they fell short of. Now, this is a paradigm shift of our thinking. Because when this whole story is done, God says, has a conversation with himself. He says, the tree of life is still in the garden. And they're like one of us now, knowing good and evil. Lest they eat of the tree of life. See, they had the freedom to eat of the tree of life. Lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. In this state, we've got to stop that. Okay? So what we concentrate on is they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What we need to focus on is that they fell short of what they could have eaten of. They could have bypassed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eaten of the tree of life. They'd already been given the command to reign. They'd already been given the command to rule. They had already been given the command to have what? Dominion. Come on, right? So if they would have ate of the tree of life, they would have reigned in life. But instead, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They sinned. Now, let me show you how our old nature thinks. This is how the enemy keeps us trapped to this. Go with me to, it's in Romans. Let me see if I wrote it down. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I tell you, and this is what the majority of our messages are about. The majority of our messages are about the don'ts. The majority of our message is about the sin, the verb. We tell people, don't sin. I want to preach you free from sin so that you no longer yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, that you understand that not only have you been forgiven of sin, you've been set free from sin, so that you are so set free from it that you no longer see yourself in bondage and that you just have to give into that because that's just the nature. No, you're set free from it and you no longer yield. You yield your members as instruments under righteousness. See, we're always looking at, don't yield, don't sin, don't this, don't that. I got to preach hard on sin so you don't sin. What I want to do is I want to get you to reach out for the tree of life. I want you to get you to reach out for righteousness. We're always focused on this over here. Let me show this to you. In Romans chapter 3, what did I say? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, 23 says what? All have what? Sinned and what? Fall short of what? Glory of God. You know what we focus on? We read this, all have sinned. Bam! And we just, pow, 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 pow. But it's just like, all have sinned, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All have fallen short of the glory of God, the tree of life. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? All have sinned, but notice, all have sinned, but that's not the end. All have sinned, forgiveness, and fallen short of what? The glory of God. Jesus said, Father, the glory that you've given me, I've given them. That's the glory of the Father that Jesus was received, that he's given us. That they may be one, Father, just as you and I are one. Okay? But see, what we always do, we always focus on the forgiveness, the sin part. All of us have sin, get forgiven, sin, get forgiven. But what we don't realize is that in the garden, they had the opportunity to eat of this tree, or they had the opportunity to eat of this tree. And I'm telling you is that when you realize that you're free from sin, you begin to see that what you've been created intelligently and designed to do is to live in his glory. And that because he created you and designed you intelligently with intelligence in your spirit, soul, and body, it is the thing that you are able to do naturally. Just like when I get up in the morning, I'm hungry. What? I didn't say, am I hungry? Hunger? Where do the hunger pains come from? It's intelligent design. My body says you need fuel. Come
Come on, right? My spirit's the same way. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, my words, they're not just physical. They are spirit, and they are what? Life. Come on, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 17. I want to show you a New Testament scripture equivalent to the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, okay, through one man's offense, sin entered, if by one man's offense, death, what? Reigned through the one. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in what? Life through the one, Jesus Christ. It's called a new and living way. It's a new and living way. 90% of the time, the church is preaching about how we have to die every day. I'm here to tell you that the Bible says, take up your cross and deny yourself. That's not dying every day. Take up your ministry. Take up what God's called you to do. Take up what God's called you, what God's placed you on this earth to do. It's not to die. It's to live. Come on, can you say amen? It's a new and living way. But see, what we're so concentrated, so focused on what has been done. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we totally forget that they had the opportunity to eat of the tree of life, and we have the same opportunity. Come on, right? We can reign in life by grace and by receiving the gift of righteousness. Okay? One more scripture here real quick. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. I'm going to show you that reigning in life is not for when we all get to heaven. Huh? What scripture? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. Well, let me read a few verses above that, and we'll wrap up. This is it. Verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are at Christ at his coming. There is a coming, there is a time where he comes, and our natural man, our physical natural man, the Bible says will put on immortality. Okay, death will be swallowed up. Right? Okay? But I want you to see something here. Then, when at his coming, then comes the what? End. Are we at the end yet? No, because he hasn't come yet, right? Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. At the end, he's going to deliver the kingdom to the Father. After he's put an end to all rule, power, and authority. Okay? Right? But the end's not yet, right? And we're a part of the kingdom, right? We're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness. But our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom what? Come. Thy will be done on earth as it is what? In heaven. We're part of the kingdom. We're sent. We're here. Okay? What are we supposed to be doing while we're here? Look right, it says right in verse 25. Okay? He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power in verse 24. For he, Jesus, must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. What must he do until the end? What? Reign. He must reign. Reign till all enemies have been what? Put under his what? Feet. We won't go to Ephesians 9 because I told you we'd wrap up. But he says that all things have been put under his feet. And he gave all things to be head to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. First John chapter, I think it's 4 verse 17 says this, as he is, so are we in the world. Let me ask this question. Is he under sin? No. Is he under sickness? No. Is he under shame? No. Is he under guilt? No. Is he under condemnation? No. Is he in bondage to fear? No. Come on. Is he? If he's not, then we're not, because as he is, so are we in this earth. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, church, we are called to reign in life, because he must reign until all the enemies are put underneath his feet. Then comes the end. Come on. What are some of the enemies? Shame. What are some of the enemies? Condemnation. What are some of the enemies? Sin. What are some of the enemies? Guilt. What are some of the enemies? Sickness. Disease. Come on, sickness and disease is a form of death. Come on, right? And we're here on this earth to reign in life, to bring what we have to those that need it. Does that make sense? But I'm telling you, until we go from understanding that we're forgiven to where we've been set free to walk in newness of life, there's a whole other realm over here. We've been set free from sin. Father, I just thank you tonight for your word. And God, I thank you for your incredible plan. And God, I thank you for just continuing to speak to each one of us. Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you will speak to each one of us tonight. God, only the Holy Spirit can cause this to come alive on the inside of us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys tonight. Amen. Appreciate you coming out. Everyone's looking at me like, what's that? You got a question? What's the question? Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if I can give you the answer. I can hear the question.